Okay, how you doing, Aaron?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Ready to start the new year off
Oh yeah, I'm
with
excited about 2017.
you gonna be the underdog?
I'm always an underdog in my own mind.
Right.
Yes.
I'm an overdog.
You're an overdog, huh?
Yeah. I'm the alpha dog.
You're the alpha
You're
dog,
the beta
really.
dog.
I'm glad you think that way. I guess somebody
it's
has
it's
to.
the uh, it's the year of the uh, it's the year of the rooster.
That's right. It's the year of the rooster.
You gonna be the chicken? Or the egg?
I'm going to be the rooster.
Gonna be the
I'm going
rooster.
to be the rooster.
All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, today we're talking about underdogs and really remarkable story about Kalpana Saroj
Yes.
that I never heard before.
I've never heard it either. Yeah. I thought it was a very good story.
Yeah, isn't the world just full of amazing people? You think you've heard it all,
Yeah.
and then you hear about this woman who started with everything stacked against her,
That's right.
and she came out to be a multi-millionaire, incredibly successful businesswoman.
Who took that success and gave back to her community to help other people
Right,
just like her,
right.
which I think is the best part of the story. Because you have that happen. You have in communities all over the world, people go on to become powerful or become rich or very, very educated, and then they never go back to the community from which they came. They forget about it, and it doesn't add any value back into that community.
Right.
That's a problem with a lot of inner city communities in the United States, and I think it's also a problem with developing countries. Talented people move to places in Europe, or they go to the university in America, and they become PhDs or
Right.
professionals, and then
Right.
they stay in those countries. They don't go back to the communities.
Right.
It's a brain drain, basically. Yeah.
Can you so, she was married off at 12 years old.
12 years old. It's hard to imagine.
And treated horribly and
Yeah.
beaten and
Yeah.
starved and
Well, luck.
can you
Yeah.
imagine that family now seeing her as this $100 million worth,
Yeah.
success?
Yeah.
I wonder if they've ever, tried to contact her and
All
said,
right.
"Well, let's just let bygones be bygones. How about a loan, Kobana?"
Yeah. But we love stories like that. We like to see the underdog win,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, do you watch any sports?
I do. I love sports.
What sports do you watch?
These days, I don't have much time to watch sports. But when I do find myself with a moment, I like to watch football or
Okay.
soccer. Right,
Okay.
soccer.
So then you probably knew that story. That was new to me.
Oh, the
It's
Leicester story, Leicester
Leicester
City. Oh
City.
yeah, I followed that quite
Yeah.
closely last
Yeah.
year. Yeah.
So that must have been really exciting for soccer fans, football fans.
Yeah, it was totally because those clubs at the top, like Manchester United and Manchester City and Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur, all those teams, they just have mega amounts of money,
Yeah.
like just tons of money. They can
Yeah.
buy any players they
Yeah.
want, essentially.
Yeah.
And you have this little club that just got promoted
Yeah.
the year before
Yeah.
to the Premier League, which is a big deal for them.
Yeah.
But they have only a small fraction of the money to spend, and their star player, this guy Jamie Vardy, he's a striker. Just years before that, he was playing in rock bottom, like semi-pro leagues,
Right.
and he just sort of worked his way up.
Right.
And he's not particularly talented. He's just got lots of grit and drive. Yeah.
Yeah, what about, actually, I don't know, but what I read
Yeah.
was that they were on the verge. I didn't realize they had just been promoted into the Premier League. What I read was they were on the verge of being demoted.
Well, they were the year before.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was the year they came in, I believe. I mean,
Okay.
teams every year, three teams get demoted and three teams get promoted from the league
Okay.
that's underneath
Okay.
them. And they had gone in the previous year and had to fight to stay in the league. So everyone expected them last year. They expected them to either, have to fight once again. They were at the bottom of the league. And it was just amazing the run that they went on, winning games, beating all the big teams.
Right,
It's quite amazing.
right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm hearing some interference from your mic. Could you put this cord down?
I think that'll make it worse, but
Well,
I can try.
let's try.
Okay.
Yeah, so just the amount of money that these teams like Manchester United have on hand, obviously they can recruit so much more star power.
Yeah, and they have it. I mean, that's why when you watch these teams play, it's clear that one side is more talented than the other.
Right.
But that's not everything. It's a very physical league, and teams, if you have a really good teamwork, and cooperation, and you have a good team spirit, you can beat anybody on any given day.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They just kept winning and kept winning. Yeah. And guess what? This year, they're right down towards the bottom again.
Really?
Same, pretty much the same team.
Well, why do you think that is? Why did
I think certain teams they peak at different times and they're
did they have did they have the same coach that they had
same coach
the winning?
And they only lost one decent player. The rest were all the same players essentially. Huh. And actually, interestingly, the owner of that team is Thai. And
on their
jersey, it says King Power.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
they won over the hearts and of so many people around the world with the way that they made that incredible achievement.
Right.
So that was a real feel good story.
Right.
To watch the underdog win.
I actually read this story about how they were trying to connect that their incredible victory with, you know, this sordid past from the year before, where a couple of the players on that team, and one of the players was the son of the coach, were in Thailand, some sordid story with prostitutes and that, and these players were videoing it, and I think they were, did something horrible. They were abusing these women or something, and these videos got online, and the player got fired. And because the player's father was the coach, he quit in protest.
Oh, wow.
But him quitting in protest allowed this other coach to come in and completely change things.
Yeah, and that's what led to their victory.
Yeah, they say. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much it really is the coach or how much is just the chemistry of the players.
I think chemistry plays a big role, but a coach is a very important part of that.
Yeah, apparently this coach, this Italian guy, he came in kind of throwing out the playbook that he used to coach with, where he would try to really control the strategy and really try to leave it up to the players.
Right.
But anyways, 5,000 to 1. Can you imagine?
Putting money down on that.
I mean, there must be some bookies that had to go out of business.
Oh, right.
To pay that off.
Yeah. Cause some people did bet on that.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody bet, $1,000. I mean, what would that be? That would be like $5 million.
It'd be a lot of money.
5,000 to 1. Apparently they don't. That at least these British betting houses, they don't take bets anymore for those odds.
Oh, right.
Because it was so devastating.
It's too risky for them. Yeah.
So I don't know if you can still bet on Elvis being alive at 2,001. But I did look up some betting odds of these, British gambling houses. And apparently you can bet on who the next James Bond will be.
Okay.
You can, it's 250 to 1 that P. Diddy will be the next James Bond.
Okay.
You can get that, you can get in on that bet.
No thanks. I don't think he's going to get it.
You can bet on whether the next James Bond will be black at 5 to 1.
Yeah. Well, there's a British actor that's very classy. And his name is like Edra or Abis. Edra. I can't pronounce his name. I don't know it all.
People think that he'll be the next James
Bond.
Yeah,
it's a very, very good chance.
I wonder what the odds are there.
He'd be a pretty cool Bond, I think.
You can bet whether Britain will legalize marijuana by 2020 at 12 to 1 odds.
12 to 1 odds, yeah.
You can bet on almost anything. I was reading that at the same time that they were giving 5,000 to 1 odds on Leicester City, they were also giving 5,000 to 1 odds on Kim Kardashian, reality TV star, famous for pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
No real known talents or skills, apparently. They're giving her 5,000 to 1 odds to become president
of the United States.
Yes.
Well, now I'm sure
yes.
that has improved. Now
yeah.
that
yeah.
Donald
now that Trump,
Trump
anything,
who's a reality TV star, basically
anything is possible.
Yeah. And
now.
What do you think the odds are that by this time next year, I will still be your mentor?
You will still be my mentor. Well,
what do you think the odds are?
I mean, first we would have to wager, you know, why you're so confused about this situation. Could it be a lack of medication, a lack of counseling, something in the water?
Maybe. Maybe it's the water.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I wonder what the odds were for Donald Trump becoming president.
Well, yeah,
saying out a year back,
right. I'm sure you could look that up.
I bet somebody probably made a lot of money off of that bet. But yeah, why do we go after the underdog?
Because it makes us feel good when they win. We share in that feeling. We share in that experience.
Yeah.
And as an underdog, it feels good to win. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah.
Whereas if you know you're the best, if you know you're the most, you expect to win.
Right.
And when you do win, it's another day on the job.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I did what I expected to do.
Right.
What's next?
Right. You know,
where's the next challenge? But as the underdog, it's such an exhilarating feeling to.
What if you're competing against the underdog? You think you ever get any? Any boost?
Well, I think that can be very frustrating.
When you lose to an underdog?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say a boost. I'd say it's a big downer.
Well, I read something really cool that John McCain supposedly said when he lost against Obama.
Right.
And he said it was devastating, but there was a part of him that was proud to be an American to witness America choosing the first African-American president.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the situation.
Yeah. But that research where they had this team A and this team B, no other information, just a hypothetical imaginary team, and team B was the underdog. Who are you going to pick? And 80% or 81% said, "Oh, I'm going to pick team B just because they're the underdog."
Just because they're the underdog, and then they flipped.
And then they said, "Okay, now team B is in the
lead." Well, I totally understand it. I love rooting for the underdog. Yeah. It's just more exciting.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see someone overcome adversity, overcome the odds.
But in this situation,
and it says something about the human spirit.
In this situation, they saw their underdog, Team B, starting to win. They said, "Okay, now your Team B has won three games, and half the people jump ship." Well, they're not an underdog anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, if you have that attitude, you're just destined for disappointment.
Right.
But these researchers, they did. Actually, I don't know if it was these researchers or a different group of university researchers looking at underdogs, hypothetical situations.
Yeah.
And they did this with all different kinds of things. They did it with like small businesses, like you got the Walmart and big multinational store corporation, and you got a small mom and pop store.
Right.
You know, who do you want to win?
Yeah.
People, you know, choose the underdog.
But they shop at Walmart.
Yeah.
they still shop at Walmart.
Right, right.
Because the prices are cheaper and you have a much bigger selection. It's just no contest.
Yeah, maybe it's just in, people's hypothetical imagination we like the underdog, but when we actually
put down the money and it's a different story, isn't it?
But they did this with I think they did it with, they even did it with artists.
Uh-huh.
They said, okay, you've got this world famous artist and you got this, plucky nobody trying to make it in the art world. Who do you want to win the art competition? I want the underdog to win. They even did it with geometric shapes.
Really?
They made an animation with like a circle, going up a mountain very easily.
Uh-huh.
And then another circle just kind of quivering and, struggling to get up this mountain. And they'd say, which circle do you want to win?
Circle.
I want that plucky little quivering circle to win.
That's right.
And we can even attach ourselves to geometric shapes.
Yeah.
The underdog. When have you ever been the underdog?
Actually, I experienced that a bit when I was a tennis player back in my high school days.
Uh-huh.
I was a hardworking tennis player. I wasn't particularly good.
Uh-huh.
I was okay.
Uh-huh.
But I practiced a lot and I put my mind to it and I became gradually better and better. And by the time, I reached my senior year, I was the number one tennis player on our tennis team.
Uh-huh.
But even still, our tennis team was not very good. And so I would go up against the number ones of a lot of the other teams in the state.
Uh-huh.
And I would get my butt kicked quite frequently. So I was almost always the underdog.
Uh-huh.
However, when I went up against certain people who definitely on paper would beat me, and when I won those matches, which I occasionally did, other people were really happy for me. I was really happy about my performance. The other person was kind of devastated, and sometimes they were even happy for me.
Uh-huh.
It just depended on the person. But that was I always felt like I was not on top. I was always the underdog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have that experience in sports.
But in yeah. your but in your high school, you were the overdog.
Within my high school, yeah. Well,
nobody says overdog.
We don't say overdog, but we could use it, and we understand each other. Yeah. But yeah, I was the top dog.
Yeah. yeah. You're the big fish in the little pond.
Then in the little pond. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard this interesting quote by the novelist Haruki Murakami.
Uh-huh.
And I think some years back, he won some literature prize in Israel.
Oh, okay.
And he gave a speech, and he said, I think talking, you know, about the political situation in between Israel and
Palestinians. And yeah.
And he said, between a high, solid wall and an egg that breaks against it, I will always stand on the side of the egg. No matter how right the wall may be and how wrong the egg, I will stand with the egg. Someone else will have to decide what is right and what is wrong.
Right.
Perhaps time or history will decide. If there were a novelist who, for whatever reason, wrote works standing with the wall, of what value would such works be?
Interesting.
So it's interesting. I mean, he's saying that I'm not even going to get into the morality of
right.
who is actually correct.
Right.
I feel that as an artist, as a novelist,
yeah.
as somebody who creates works of art that are supposed to move people,
right.
that I should be standing with the side that is powerless.
Right.
And that is like an artist's job to stand with the powerless.
Interesting.
Maybe, you know, as we've been talking about, to inspire people that
right.
they are capable of overcoming.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that he made that division that I'm not making a decision of morality.
Right.
Of, you know, it's a very complicated, complicated situation with Israel
yeah.
and Palestine.
Yeah.
And you can easily see both sides of the situation. But
sure.
he said, as an artist, as yeah. a novelist,
right.
this is the stand I feel
huh.
I must take.
Interesting. I'm sure that's you know, resonates with that feeling of rooting for the underdog and wanting
yeah.
to see
yeah.
you know that the underdog overcome the adversity
right
before him. So yeah, very interesting.
So yeah, back to the story
mm-hmm. Of Kalpana
of Kalpana
yeah.
Saroj. Yeah, it was interesting to see how that caste system still, you know, is a problem in modern day society. And, you know, we see that not just in India, but all over the world.
Oh, yeah, we see it all over. Yeah.
In Japan, there are medieval caste systems that still, you know, rear its head in,
mm-hmm.
in kind of hidden discrimination.
Right.
You know, even in America.
Economic caste system
yeah.
is, you know, tremendously,
yeah.
you know, disproportionate.
Yeah.
Between haves and have-nots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an economic rather than... Now, of course, it's tied in with race and
right.
gender and things
right.
like that. But,
right.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, it made me think about this happening in Japan and how I just wonder how many countries around the world have these kind of medieval systems, this kind of tribalist thinking where we need to divide society
mm-hmm.
into different groups to try to protect our power
mm-hmm.
or our security, this tribalist nature.
Right.
You know, how many countries out there are still dealing with these old medieval ideas?
Well, I'm sure all societies are in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I think that's part of just being human. We discriminate and
yeah.
we label people.
Yeah.
And I that's probably a survival mechanism.
Right.
You know, from way back when, something evolutionary.
Right.
But the possibility exists of overcoming that through awareness and education and through cooperation. But it just doesn't seem like now it seems like things are going in the reverse
right.
direction, at
right.
least politically. And, you know, with what happened in Britain and what's happening in the United
yeah.
States and
yeah.
all the wars that are taking
yeah.
place
yeah.
that are connected with religion
yeah.
and with ideals and economic power.
Right.
And, wow.
But I mean, at least these days, this discrimination still exists, but at least it is suppressed by the legal system.
Yeah.
You know, just 50, what was it, 60, 65, no, less than 60 years ago, we had segregation in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had black people who weren't allowed to, legally, were barred from restaurants and public services and jobs.
Yeah, restrooms and buses.
And that was legal.
Things, right.
You know, of course, discrimination still happens in the States, but at the very least, it's illegal.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same in India. This caste discrimination
system,
is illegal.
But it still lingers.
In Japan, caste discrimination is illegal at the very least. So, you know, we are making progress.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, fight the good fight.
Yeah. I will continue rooting for you, Dan.
Yes. All
the
right.
Underdog.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Overdog Aaron. Over and out.
Over and out, man. See you later.
All right.